We got a busy night tonight. The first three episodes of Runaways, 13 episodes of The Punisher, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back, and I swear I was really excited about the latest episode of The Gifted. So stay tuned for the pizza and sadness. Marvel TV Weekly starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
I'm sorry, Anthony in the booth, Tony be dead. You can't script gold like that. I couldn't run through it before we started, because it was all up here, man, in my head. Anyway, welcome! We're going to talk a lot about The Runaways. We're going to talk about Punisher. We're going to talk about all the things I just said 30 seconds ago. I'm Christian Blatt, at ChristianDMZ. And for those watching on YouTube, you'll see to my left, your right, Carrie Lane.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And there's a little bit more room at the end of the table for our friend Michael Shirley.
Yeah, I needed the leg room. Yeah, that's my name. I'm Michael Shirley. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Michael X Shirley.
Anything else you wanted to say?
Oh, well, we don't have Erica anymore.
Correct.
Well, then I would have been over there.
We're not recasting.
No, right? We're not going to recast.
You know,
I hate that. Yeah.
Like some War Machine shit. It just like really drives me nuts.
But Don Cheadle's so much better than Terrence Howard.
No, he's not.
He's a million times better.
That's
like Alec Baldwin holding them up for more money for the sequel to Hunt for Red October. And they're like, no, for that money, we can go get Harrison Ford for Patriot Games.
Well, I just had to ask because Erica has a twin. Looks like exactly like
her.
Does
she really?
Just say we're not having like another Erica.
No, her twin will actually be here starting soon. No.
We're
going to have a new character.
MacGyver, a new character. Remember that sci-fi alien movie?
No. The Guyver?
No, MacGyver.
Oh, MacGyver.
It was like an alien spacesuit that came down. It was organic kind of material and they recast
the
guy for the
MacGyver?
Second movie. I'll look it up.
Recasting just messes everything up.
It's just bad because you're like,
so
no,
we're
that's not
a
person.
New host.
Oh,
for
actually, you know what? It's just, hold on. I think I spelled that wrong. It's just no M. It's just Guyver, I think.
It is Guyver. All right, so that's right the first day. Anyway, so we're here. That's the key. And we have a lot of stuff to talk to you about. We're going to start with just a little bit of movie news because it's movie news. But there's an interesting Vanity Fair profile that, of course, I didn't read, but I read all the little blurbs about it. And I guess Marvel has the next 20 movies planned, basically. And it's a little ambitious, I think, because I think people aren't going to want 20 more of these movies.
You need some wiggle room.
Yeah, I know. And they say that after Avengers 4, whatever that's going to be called, the movies are going to look really different. And if it means that they look more like Justice League, they're in trouble. But if I don't know exactly what they mean.
I know what they mean.
What do they mean?
I think because
they're going to be less white people.
Well, when I was,
because we have Black Panther coming.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
That looks
too.
So good.
I saw that trailer actually before Justice League. I saw that trailer and it looks great.
All of those movies feel very much like comic books. Like you're kind of like watching comic books, and I really kind of felt that when I was telling you when I finished The Punisher directly after I watched the 2004 The Punisher
with Thomas Jane, your hero,
and I realized like how much that movie is like a comic book, and like the stuff on Netflix is more like the rated, like, what is that edgier version of Marvel that they had? Like Marvel Black.
DC's is called Vertigo.
One that Typhoid Mary was on, like that really hardcore like storylines, like the more like noir.
Yeah, the
stuff.
You know, the Netflix shows, because you binge them together, they feel
they're grittier and more real.
Yeah, they feel like a trade paperback graphic novel of this sort of,
I don't feel like I'm reading the comic book. I'm feeling like I'm hearing a story about the characters.
And
the,
so you feel like that's what we'll get from
movies
like 25
stuff. I think because this
40.
Stuff is done so well. Like Daredevil, I mean, say what you want about Iron Fist. Say what you want about Jessica Jones.
I would say that I love him.
People love Jessica Jones. I'm not a fan. But they've all done well.
Yes.
I think everything's going to be...
But I did like Jessica Jones, but I think she whined too long that... Finally, when she does cool stuff, you're like, I've been waiting for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think she dragged down the Defenders a little bit with her whininess.
No,
too.
In Defenders, it was good. Yeah. It's okay. But when it's her show,
punch
you're like...
Punch Jessica.
Hurry up and get going. But that was kind of my problem with Luke Cage, too, of like, he's like the reluctant hero for too long, and you're already... It's the problem with the show, and these superhero shows, where you already know they're going to do cool stuff, so when they drag it out...
Yeah.
You're like, I get it. Can we get to the cool stuff and fighting and things?
With Luke Cage, I kind of felt that I wish the first 10 minutes of Luke Cage had been the whole 13 episodes. If he's just sweeping up hair at Pop's Barbershop and just while everybody... I was like, that would be a great show. I would have loved that
show. There was a lot of camping, I feel like, in that part of Luke Cage.
Well, that must be what I liked then.
It felt like part of a Marvel movie, that feeling you get at the barbershop. Yeah. But I think the camp's going to be taken out of it.
Maybe.
Well, we'll see. Let's use the camp as a great transition to talk about Runaways, which I did not realize until last night when I had a conversation with Carrie right after Star Trek Weekly that there were three episodes online. Dun, dun, dun. So I had not budgeted my entire morning to watch these, but once we talked, I did. And I'll say, after watching them, I'm really glad they put three of them together, because even if it had been two, I would have been like, oh, that story didn't really move along, because the way that the second one loops back and is like, here's some stuff you didn't see, and then you only advance the story a little tiny bit. So I think that those, well, it was not exactly 3 hours, but basically 3 hours, did a good job of setting up where the series will go. And I enjoyed it. I think that they did a good job with the characters, some very minor tweaks, but they did a good job just sort of capturing the look of the characters, I thought. What did you think, Carrie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I do enjoy it. I wish I liked it a little bit more.
Sure.
But again, I think it's just the beginning. Similar to what I was just saying with the Netflix shows, the problem with Runaways is, like, I'm familiar with it enough, so I'm kind of like, okay, let's get to the cool powers. We all know they're going to have them.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there. But I was talking with Joelle earlier, and she made a good point, though. It's nice because then these people are set up as normal, regular human beings, and then the powers, like, we get them as who they are and then their powers, instead of just jumping to that. And I'm like, all right, that's a decent enough argument. And, like, we get to see who they are as kids. I love that they are such young-looking actors, and they are young. I like the ethnic diversity of the cast, which it was already written that way, though, too. But it's nice they kept that.
Yeah, I mean, I think even, obviously, at the time period that the comics were written, comics were a little bit more diverse. But, you know, typically, you don't get a lot of diversity. You know, you'll have, like, your, for lack of a better term, you'll have your token heroes like your Luke Cage, your Black Panthers, and they'll end up on teams sometimes. But for the most part, yeah, it's like, I don't know if there's anybody whiter than the Fantastic Four. I could try and think of someone, but it's hard.
Well, they tried to fix that with Michael B. Jordan.
They did, yeah. And if only they hadn't done that in a terrible movie, maybe that would have worked.
Yeah. I also love this filmed in Los Angeles,
yeah.
And then that diversity of the group makes sense, too, of, like, at a high school, like, that's the kind of variety.
Especially at this,
you
like, weird, you know,
private school
where it seems like the kids stand during class, at least in one of the you know, when Gert's trying to get people to sign up for her class.
I think it looks more like science tables, and they have, like, stools.
Oh, maybe. I like the idea. What? Tony be dead in the booth.
Yeah, what's up? Just kidding. No, I just wanted to say on that note, I did see that there's a poster in the back that says sitting is a new cancer. So I'm guessing it's trying to be like a super uber like progressive school where they don't let kids
sit get out in Brentwood.
Does that mean that
Brentwood.
That we should be standing up right now?
Yes, because that's exactly what that
all
means.
All right, Tony, you stand up and then we'll join you next week. yeah, and I don't know. So Michael, your overall thoughts. We'll get into some of the specifics.
Oh, I love it.
Did you?
Oh yeah, I love it.
And you were glad that there were three of them, right?
Yeah.
The way
for
that first one ends, it would have been like, oh, I gotta wait a week for
it's
more.
It's kind of like the trend for like the pay subscription shows.
I noticed that with
another after show I did when I did the Twin Peaks show. They released the first three.
What they released that on?
Showtime.com. Yeah. And as you know, you can buy Showtime through Hulu. So I think they have like something kind of worked out with that they just kind of want to get you hooked and start the binge so that you can't wait
for the next week. Then you can't binge, which is, have a little mini binge.
That gives you like reason to keep watching.
It's enough to sink your teeth into. They did that with Handmaid's Tale, too.
Yeah,
I did. Oh, which I started watching right after The Runaways, and I am like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
That is intentional.
And Michael, did you sign up for Hulu just to watch Runaways?
I did.
We've been trading messages.
So I am going to be the judge. We were just talking about like if it's worth it to pay for a network just for one show, and I've done it.
But now you also have Handmaid's Tale, so you'd be paying for two shows.
Well, I didn't pay for it for Handmaid's Tale.
It's a good bonus.
We're going to see how that works by the time the end of the series. We'll see if I'm willing to keep my
You still have commercials though, right?
Subscription.
Oh yeah, do you have?
No, I did the $4.99 because I like commercials. It like gives
me chance to do something.
No, I hate commercials, and any product that's on there, I'm like, I am far more likely never to touch your product because I am held hostage while your commercial is going, and I'm waiting.
Oh, I love to shop.
You like to shop during the commercials?
I mean, maybe that's my moment. Like, I'll check my phone.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true American.
Well, no, right? Bring up the economy.
So let's talk a little bit about the story, though. I think it does a good job from an adapting a comic book aspect, but obviously this is a Josh Schwartz show, and we talked about this in our premiere episode. You know, that's the guy behind The OC and his partner, Stephanie, whose last name I forget, Savage. They did the Gossip Girl together.
I do like that it has a lot of female writers and directors on the episodes, too. I noticed that when they would be like written by, directed by, so it's like
no, I think it's good. There are so many female characters on the show, and you know, maybe too many is what Michael was saying.
I wasn't saying that. I was just saying it's packed well.
Yeah,
it's very. It's a majority lady team. Yeah, and you don't really think of them as that in you know, the timeline and in just groups of superheroes in the Marvel universe aren't like,
although there,
you don't really think about.
There are long stretches where the X-Men were mostly women, you know, like in the like late 80s to the early 90s.
And they even brought that back recently with like the all women team.
We talked about this in the last episode, that's X-Men Red.
But before that, they did it with us, and Storm was leading the team, and now they're doing it again.
I
don't know
if it's Jean Grey, who apparently was dead again. I did not realize that, but she's alive again, so I basically caught up because in my mind she was still alive.
Yeah, it was the all-new X-Men, and I'm not sure if that is morphing into X-Men Red or if it's a completely different storyline, but
I think that this show does a good job at, you know, sort of talking about the pedigree of the people behind it, you know, having done The OC and Gossip Girl. They understand sort of the audience they're going for, which is not necessarily comic book readers. You know, I think that kids of the age of the characters, or maybe a little bit less, a little bit more, would identify with them. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, they can find it to be interesting and just want to know what's going on. You know,
it feels like a Freeform show.
Yeah, I was actually about to say, it's like, it's definitely got like, let's put a little dash of Pretty Little Liars in there somewhere.
Well, that's maybe good then why they are kind of slowly introducing the powers, because it is more like just a regular show and it's kids who happen to have powers.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that what we've seen so far is really, you know, Molly using her powers and, you know, I mean, actually using them and understanding them so far.
Ooh, she gets
learning
tired.
Too.
She's not going to be much
well,
use.
Well, see, I want to know if she's kind of like the Flash they've had in Justice League where he's like, I just have to eat a lot.
So,
I'm like, I hope she needs
she,
to eat. Yeah, I'm like, please.
Because
passing out constantly is not safe. As we kind of see in the episode.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. But yeah, like you said, that we're getting a slow rollout. And I think that's a smart way to do it because you're not bombarding people with too much superhero stuff. I don't know, you know, the way that this exists, it could stand alone and not be part of any universe, any of the TV universes we have.
Yeah, it doesn't really mix with the vibes.
No,
of
it doesn't.
Else.
You know, and
maybe Cloak and Dagger, but it's totally different network.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I don't really. Anyway, the point being though is that you don't have to be a fan of or even that familiar. You know, somebody who's in high school but likes the Marvel movies might be like, oh, I'll check that out. And they're not going to feel like they're lost. You know, it's not like there's, you know, references to the July 15th incident.
Oh my God.
I don't think you mentioned that to him.
This show just even shows what crap that show is. Like, this show is like a lot. Well, I don't know why I want to say lighter, but it is lighter.
No, it is lighter.
You know, so far, yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, not necessarily what's going on
overall
in the background.
Vibe is
super.
Yeah.
Not good. But, I mean, it's very beautifully shot. They use all different styles of cinematography. The opening just kind of sucks you in, too.
Ooh, I do. Okay, like, they do play the melody of the opening theme song a little too much within every episode. That you're like, just bring that volume down just a little bit. Like, I get that it's the theme song, but there's too many moments where it plays in the episode that you're like, just bring
the volume
down.
Yeah, it's like on the Brady Bunch when it was a serious moment, you'd hear sort of a slowed down version of the Brady Bunch theme. But
it's always when Jan was on screen.
Poor Jan.
It's ruined it all.
Just imagine what happened to her. But anyway, who stands out for you, Carrie, as the characters that are the most intriguing on this show? It could be kids, could be parents.
the dinosaur. No.
Dinosaur is very interesting.
Dinosaur is very interesting. I want to know more about the dinosaur. I think the parents are actually kind of interesting, especially they were like, how they were categorized as the Jewish parents. Because like, their dialogue with how they talk to their children is interesting. Molly, I want to know more. Well, actually, all of them I kind of do, but I like that Molly is quickly getting into her powers sooner than the others.
Yeah, which is interesting because she's younger. And, yeah. You know, so they've already. But clearly for. Wait, no, Caroline is the mom.
No, Caroline is the blonde daughter.
It is the blonde daughter. Okay, so yeah, I was right, but I so she clearly has had powers, but that little bracelet apparently is some kind
keeps
of
keeps her normal, yeah.
Yeah, so, but anyway, so the point being that her, so Molly's powers are manifesting before any of the much older kids on the show. So that'll be interesting to see if it's like, hey, how come we don't have any powers?
Or, yeah.
You know, in the source.
We'll see how quickly they all can, like, convene on the, like, let's have a conversation about it. Because that it was a little bit weird with Molly and her sister, where she's like, yeah, I'm going through changes.
Oh, you mean Gert?
Gert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just mentioned that because it's such a bad character name. It always
has. It's a little weird.
Gert?
But isn't her full name?
She looks like a Gert.
Is she a Gertrude? And she just goes by
Gert? Yeah, she's Gertrude.
Yeah, but is her she's name. Gert. Well, she can just easily be true.
But they're talking, and and Molly's kind of like, I'm going through changes, and it's like, yeah, totally, that's what we all go through, blah, blah, blah. But she lists some things, and I'm waiting for Molly to be like, oh, no, these are a little different, let me show you.
Yeah, no, I
wanted that moment, because that's what I would think of, like, no,
you get
really.
You're really strong when you become a woman.
Apparently.
yeah, and Michael, for you, who stands out?
Huh. I am interested to see how Carolina's powers, like, work, because it seems like she might have had them her whole life or something, or for a very long time.
And that apparently...
Because she never took it off.
Yeah.
Apparently her grandfather knew enough about them that he painted something.
Oh, and isn't he a creep?
A little bit, man. Yeah.
He's just so
weird.
He's a little human vampire.
You know.
He's hard to look at. But I'm interested to see how Gert and Chase's relationship plays out, because, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm totally her like that. I'm like, oh, you suck, but I secretly, like, love you.
Yeah, like, you're everything that I shouldn't like, but God, I really like you.
Yeah,
like, I hate myself for, like, Joan Jett has a song called I Hate Myself for Loving You.
Yes,
and
yes.
Michael wore Joan Jett and the Blackhearts t-shirt because she was
runaway.
The original runaway.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Zias in the chat kind of agrees with you about Gert, that Gert's pretty interesting. And Carolina as well.
And I'm also kind of into Nico, too, to see
I think Nico's very interesting.
I want more with Nico.
And I don't, honestly, I don't know enough, because I just sort of checked this out like once, and I don't even think I ever actually bought a Runaways. I just sort of flipped through it. I don't even know, like, oh, so does that weird, like, mirror, mirror on the wall thing help her create the snow? Or can she do that without, you know, I don't know. And I think she's very interesting.
It's her magic wand.
Don't give anything away, Anthony, if that's true.
I have a theory about it.
Okay, but it's not a theory you read somewhere from somebody who's... Okay, go ahead.
This is grade A original from me.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that the wand thing is able to manifest whatever she thinks of.
Yeah.
So, like, if they want if they think of a force field, they make a force field for the parents, like when they were doing the whole Pride meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she was thinking about the snowflake in her sister's notebook, and that caused the whole snow to fall. So it reacts with it. I think it has two parts. It's an emotional reaction as well as what they're thinking and how strong their emotion towards what they're thinking is. So I'm sure it could be used to attack as well if they're angry and they, like, you know, imagine some lasers coming from the sky.
This is a very advanced theory. Very
nobody else can grab it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the guy grabbed it and it hurt him.
Oh, yeah.
No one could grab it if they didn't offer the blood.
You gotta be a witch.
The blood pit, it pricks her when she picks it up at first. She offered the blood, and that's when it came out.
I think it's genetic. It might be with the family.
No, it's with the blood. I'm definitely...
All right. Settle down there. At Tony B. D.E.D. in the booth.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah, no. It'll be interesting to see who's right. Let's see.
I think it definitely has something to do with that.
Yeah.
I think it's part of the family. You have to be in the family.
And Zias in the chat says that wants to see where they take Alex and his parents. I find their dynamic to be the most interesting. I would say that Jeffrey Wilder, played by Alex Sands, who, by the way, will be on this show next week. He'll be our special guest when we talk a little bit more Runaways. Ryan Sands is his name. Alex's dad. They that dad and son combination seem to have at least the most normal character interaction of all the show. Yeah, yeah. Of anyone in the show. You know, and it's basically this show is trying to say moms are terrible because
Kurt
even
and Molly's mom is cool.
Yes.
And is very forward thinking of like, I don't know, you don't feel good. Just go in the bathroom and masturbate. You're like, whoa, if my mom told me that'd be so weird.
But Nico's mom, no.
No.
But Nico's dad is like, hey, sorry, your mom is such a nightmare.
Well,
you know? Not
Alex,
that's what he said, but basically that's a subtext.
Who's our, now it's our token white guy.
Chase.
His mom's cool. Like, she's nice.
Yeah, but see, there's nothing nice about the mom who stands there and lets that happen and lets the
son get beat up, a victim of abuse cycle.
Yeah. I hate to go back to The Handmaid's Tale,
but being that I
watched it right afterwards, the woman who is Chase's mom is the mom who...
Oh, yeah, she's the other mom.
In The Handmaid's Tale, like, the first episode, I'm like, she has something, like, with Hulu. Like, she has, like,
she's probably
on contract with him or something.
Yeah. And
what do you guys think? I agree with that. That's a good point. Zias in the chat said, I love that they went with non-mainstream actors and actresses for the most part in this show, unlike other related shows. Yeah, I'd say for all the kids, they're not people I've seen before. I find that very refreshing. I think it's better that they just peppered in a couple of the parents as like more
James
Marsters
having been on Buffy and being the least likable parent by far.
Right.
You know, they did well done. There's a couple of like, oh, I've seen her in something, you know, but nobody that you're.
Yeah, wasn't she Lauren in The Gifted, Carolina? They do look very similar.
No, but although Lauren in The Gifted was apparently on Gotham and The Goldbergs, I was trying to remember the actress's name.
Yeah,
and I saw, and so I'm like, oh, I have seen her in other things. So she was a lot younger. But anyway.
Bad girl.
The dad for Molly and Gert, he was on Alias, too.
He's very familiar. Actually, I looked through his credits, and I was like, some of these, I'm like, I didn't watch this show, but I've seen him enough. He's been on enough TV shows.
He is a little person, and he manages to get filmed in such a way where it's not even that apparent. So, I don't know. I always liked that character on Alias, so I like that actor. And I'm happy to see him working is the point that I mentioned. Let us know what everybody thinks in the chat. Obviously, if you're watching this after the fact, please leave a message. Where do people leave a message, Carrie?
They can comment down below. Thumbs up as well.
Soulkid 9 mentions that in the comics they had a crossover with Cloak and Dagger a few times. That makes sense. It's some familiar territory. Wayne says hi there from Pine Ridge, South Dakota. Hey, Pine Ridge, South Dakota. Thanks for watching.
Graham has a good comment.
I scrolled up beyond that, but
I cannot read that far away.
There are some major differences to the comics, but as a series, writers worked with the original comic writer, it's all flowing well. That's actually true. Yeah, you see the, you know, consulting producer credits and things like that. So I think that's good.
I was really surprised to see them go all out to work just like so hard to make everything look like it did in the comics, because I never feel like Marvel does that. Like, they don't really try to make like screen adaptations of their work. Like,
yeah, they I mean,
like with Suits, you know, like the way
rarely.
People look.
I think because this is an instance where they don't really have superhero costumes that they're adapting, you know. I mean,
but the kids,
though,
they
totally
like
the kids look exactly the same.
Molly has that little hat. I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I think of. And then
but I appreciate that because
Alex's
I want
shirt,
that.
Yeah, it's
I
very
like
good.
That stuff.
Icon.
Yeah, no, I think that you're able to do it because it's just normal clothes. Is the point, you know?
Or they're very nice, distinctive.
Yeah. Well, there'll be a lot more time to talk about the Runaways in the weeks ahead, including next week, because as I mentioned,
we'll see the next episode.
I know. Well, you can
just
watch it in
a few hours.
I know. Yeah. And if you're on the East Coast, you'll be able to watch it in just a little over an hour.
And
so.
If you're in Canada, you're like in trouble, right?
No, you can watch it
on
something else.
Canada.
Yeah, it's on. I think it's. I don't know. All these shows end up on like other platforms in Canada. But Star Drew, I believe you're a Canadian. Tell us how you watch it, because he's always there, which is great. And yes, Ryan Sands, who plays Jeffrey Wilder, is scheduled to appear on this show next week. So we'll talk more Runaways then. I do want to move it along to talk a little bit more about The Punisher. We talked a lot about The Punisher last week and who we thought he should date. But instead, let's talk more about the show itself.
I like they have that conversation, though.
Oh, no, I'm glad
him
they have
and Micro are like, no, him yeah. and Micro are like, so do you miss sex?
Yeah.
Do you want a date? I'm like, thank you. It's a real conversation.
It is a real conversation. And honestly, as tragic as it is, I love Frank's answer. He's like, no, I met the girl of my dreams. Mm-hmm. I think that
might change.
I mean, sure, you give him a little bit more time, maybe. But it's just that's not what his mission is. He's not driven by that. He's driven by revenge.
Well, after we were talking about that, I don't really want to spoil it, but I looked into Frank Castle's dating history. And he does have a child with someone else that is they're very easily could be pulled into season two because they're related to someone that's already in the show.
Oh.
Interesting. All right. Karen Page's sister.
I was going to say, I'm like, I want Karen to kind of, but they're not really.
I want on Daredevil or on Jessica Jones us to get Hellcat. Like,
yeah,
do you think Patsy, they're going to do it? No?
I think we're set up where
I'm
can.
Like, why is Claire getting all the training? But, like, she's.
Patsy's busy with Trish Talk.
I think that would make Jessica Jones so much better for me, personally.
Which one?
Like
you,
Hellcat.
Which one do you like more, Jessica Jones or The Gifted? You want to think about it? You can get back to me.
Jessica Jones.
but anyway, just overall with The Punisher, I thought it was really well done. And there are some criticisms of the show across the political spectrum. You have people who think, it just feeds into the amount of gun violence there is today. And I actually feel like they handle it really well and they sort of explain. And look, I like that Frank, misguided as his tactics might be, he has like a very Robin Hood kind of moral code. I'm stealing weapons from other bad guys to kill different bad guys.
Yeah, and the military
and I kinda like
base,
that about
he
him.
Doesn't want to hurt the kid, young soldier.
And he's just like, come on, don't do this, you know? Yep. And even before they go into the military base, he says, what if I have to hurt some kid who's just doing his job? You know, who's just serving his country. And I like that he's conflicted by that. Mm-hmm. Not at all conflicted when he just needs to beat the life out of somebody by punching them in the face.
Yeah.
Now, I have no problem with that. I don't think anybody should have a problem with that because if Frank Castle's punching you in the face and not stopping,
you've done something not
you definitely
good.
Deserve it. You know, it's not like an accident, you know?
No.
And I don't know. I think that Frank is such a complicated character. And
yes.
Sort of on the other side of the political spectrum, there are people that didn't care for the portrayal of vets as sort of being stereotypical dealing with PTSD, but if you think about it, there's, without getting too specific because we don't want to really spoil the show, there are a lot of characters who have served and are dealing with issues, but most of them are dealing with them in their own way. Sure, Frank Castle has a very traumatic thing happen in his life. It has nothing to do with his time in the military.
Yeah.
It's
what happens after. I think you get a good juxtaposition of how people are dealing with it those like groups. Yeah. That
and I point to Curtis, who runs the support group, who's Frank's friend.
He's well-adjusted.
He's very well-adjusted, and he lost his leg, and he's like, he's there to help people, and, all that everybody wants to do is help Lewis and talk
him
through.
And most of the people in the group
I was rooting for Lewis,
regular.
But man...
Yeah. Oh, no, when you mentioned gun violence, too, there's the scene when Lewis almost shoots his dad on accident. That, I felt, was a good explanation of the, or a good example of how dangerous.
Dad.
No, yeah, but what exactly did you say?
Well, I was saying that was a good example of how gun violence is so extreme and how dangerous it is, and they treat it very seriously of, like, he gets his gun, and how you could almost kill someone you love.
How easily, absolutely. How
and
easily
even the dad
could.
Is like, it's okay, it's like, you didn't mean it, and, I love his dad.
His dad is
well. You'll like get best. More of his dad for sure because the only reason Lewis is in this show is because his dad is a character in the comic books. His name is Force, and they didn't get a good looking, handsome dad like that to not use ever again. He's definitely going to be back, and I'm sure this is all going to be like brought on by what his son does, and he'll probably want to make amends or whatever. But yeah, he's a comic book character,
right?
What's his name? Clay. What's Lewis's last name? I forget.
I actually forget now what it was.
His dad's name's Clay, and he goes on to be like an ally of the Punisher.
Which, he can always use more allies.
Yes.
And it's interesting because he has more of a support staff than I'm used to the Punisher having. I know you haven't finished the whole series.
But I know somebody that they're like, we can trust them. And it's like...
People, in the 2004 one, he had Ben Foster.
Yeah,
he had Rebecca Romijn, which, oh my God,
so
I
So that
realized,
means he had Angel and Mystique.
Yeah, I'm like, I went through that whole movie and she fooled me. The Mystique was sitting there the whole time in that waitress outfit. when you know, it's really crazy when you think about it how many people have been recast. I think about, like, I can just think of, like, offhand, like, five people.
Yeah, no, I think, especially for those of us who finished the show, you definitely see what characters we're going to get in the, I'm sure there'll be a season two, and it'll be interesting to see. But I don't know, what did you
think? But is that going to be on Disney now?
No, I think everything's going to stay on.
Yeah, I think since we had our conversation, it seems like they're like, well, they did sell these shows to Netflix, they developed them with Netflix. But I don't know. It'll be. They also might.
They're probably just not going to add any more ones. Like, they're not going to have, like, Hellcat, you know?
Yeah, and then the Moon Knight show that was promised to me, like, 2 years ago. I'm still waiting
for it. Why do you want that?
I'm pretty sure they're going to rip them off and take them to Disney.
Well, we'll see what happens. But, you know, whatever. Nah. And, you know.
They'll just start new shows there. And they'll have just shows everywhere and be making money from all ends.
And I like Moon Knight because I like, basically, characters who are all Bruce Wayne, you know, like Tony Stark and Green Arrow, you know, basically.
I don't even know Moon. I know what he looks like, but I don't know his story at all. Can you give me, like, a 20-second, like, pitch?
No, actually, elevator pitch? It's too the elevator pitch would be like, you see him? What do you think? And if you don't like him, then I'll just take
You've got no face.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Carrie, I wanted to get sort of your overall thoughts. And again, I know you didn't finish, but I think that, you know, to speak to these issues about the gun violence and the PTSD, which, like I said, I thought that they treated really well.
I think they did really well because it's not like it's, and it's only the one character who's really behaving poorly on, like, the PTSD. Like, Lewis is the only one who's like, and there are plenty of people that are like that, that have come back and then, you know, they, you know, can't adjust well. And everyone in group is actually very, you know, average and, you know, level-headed, and they even recognize that that behavior is like, no, we don't want to do that. So I don't think the show, like, is disrespectful to any veterans or anything like that. I like that they have the variety because it isn't, no group of anything is all perfect. So it's nice that they have a variety of people. I do think they handle gun violence well because they show that it's dangerous. They're not just like, cavalier about it, like, no big deal, it's fine, everybody lives.
Yeah, and there are enough characters, including Micro, who have a problem with Frank's methods. I mean, ultimately, he's like, hey, this is what we need to get done.
I think everyone has a problem with his methods.
I mean, not Frank.
Except for Frank. Micro's wife. Yeah. She's kind of like, whatever he needs to do it.
Frank and, I mean, Micro, I like that Micro and Karen bring up points to Frank of, like, so what's your end game? Like, there was a really nice scene with Frank and Karen, and she's kind of like, I hurt for you in terms of, like, it hurts me to see you this lost, and, like, where are you going with all this? And, like, that was, I like that they have real conversations. It's not just, like, fluff, and we're just murdering. It's like, no, these are the things we would want to ask him. Be like, so, Frank, what's next? What is your long term here?
Yeah. Michael, what did you think about how the show handled these, you know, very, very serious and not typically comic booky issues?
I think unless you probably didn't like playing, like, those games, you know, where you like, the shooting games, and if you weren't, like, a huge Marvel fan, if you just, like, didn't like army stuff, you probably wouldn't really care to watch it because it is hard to watch, and you see, like, some really, you know, upsetting things, and, you know, like, things like that do happen. But yeah, I think they did a fine job with it. I thought it was a good show. It wasn't, like, my favorite in the Netflix shows, but I think that's just because we all pick certain characters we identify with for certain reasons more, you know. So I would say it's, like, kind of, like, in the middle for me. Daredevil, I think, is probably my favorite of the ones.
Mm-hmm.
But the end for me, I kind of felt like I just kind of, like, just got, like, shoved off the end of the table.
It's a lot of just trying to sort of press pause on the story and leave it at a spot where it's like, okay.
Yeah, there was no, it wasn't a cliffhanger. It wasn't, like, any, it was just kind of like, that's it. Like, I was expecting for a little, like, maybe a cliffhanger or just something, and you didn't get it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, but the show has a lot of great gem moments. Did you guys, like, it was so small, but did you guys remember the sandwich part when they're in the van?
Oh, yeah, like, that Micro had made the sandwich.
That was cute.
Yeah, so funny. And, like, yeah, I mean, like, that. I'm like, the show's really good.
There's not a lot of humor in the show, mm-hmm. so when there is, you're like, wait a minute. There's comedy happening right now.
These shows aren't devoid of humor, but it's definitely...
Well,
it's
like, no, they're not. They're not Zack Snyder movies. There are jokes in there. They're actually...
You're such a hater.
Somebody has to be, you know?
Justice League?
Well, no, because there's good parts to Justice League.
I liked it.
Yeah, I didn't think I was ever going to hear you say that.
But. No, I said it. I said that Justice League was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also have like a 2-year-old.
Well, I didn't take him to see it. That's how I had fun at the movie. I left my kid at home. Anyway, so I think that
I can't read that.
Jay in the chat says, "I'm finally watching live, Michael. I love your sassy shade you throw on everything."
Tony was telling me I was so salty.
You are a little salty, but I think that that's good because when you don't like something, you don't pretend that you
people
do.
People have told me, you know, you're kind of salty, but people also tell me you're good at explaining why you feel that
yes.
way.
Yeah, as long as, I always feel like that, you know, especially when you're dealing with a chat. You know, one of the shows that I do here at AfterBuzz is South Park, and they hate us in the chat. And so every week, Phil always just says, just tell us why you hate us. That's fine. You can hate us as much as you want. But it's usually just like, you guys suck. And it's like, yeah, I know, but why?
I've been on a panel where they didn't love me.
Oh, really? But it's not this show, because no, they love you here.
I assume you guys like me fine, and I am glad.
Oh, yeah. Well, the three of us here like you.
Yes. Well, you can like Tony or dislike a show, but you just need to have reasons. I always hate when people are like, well, it's a bad movie or it's a bad show. And you're like, well, why?
No, every once in a while,
I give all kinds of reasons.
Every once in a while, there's something that I'm just like, you know what? I didn't like it. And why? It's like, I don't know. I walked out of the theater and I was like, what was that? You know? But anyway, I think that the show did a good job. And I just feel, my hope is that people watch The Punisher and at least start it. And if they feel like, you know what, it's too violent, I don't like, and they have those problems, that's fine. I think a lot of people are sort of making just broad generalizations, like, oh, they don't have a good portrayal of troops. I don't know how I feel about that. It's like, well, just watch and see what they do, because I feel like that, you know, it's not an issue that gets dealt with.
Yeah, I don't think most people come home, like, happy, smiley, like, back to it, you know, and... You know, there's some people that are. They have, like, all kinds of great things. They've been waiting to come home to it, and, you know, and they haven't had, like, their friend's leg blown off next to them. You know, like, there are different levels of everything, and it's just one person's experience, a slice of life.
But let us know what you thought of The Punisher, if you finished. And Carrie's close. You're almost done.
I'm almost done. I'm the final stretch.
So I think next week is when we'll talk about the final episode and some things. You know,
so you guys better watch it all, too.
Yeah,
you're not holding back.
I will make sure I finish by next week.
And I was speaking to the audience. I wasn't saying you have to, but it's like,
I
hope you
do. I have research.
And Jay Snowden says Daredevil's the best. Punisher comes in second. It's hard to rank for sure, but I do really
Everyone knows Iron Fist comes in second. Duh.
I mean, he's probably... No. I like
well, it. For you.
I like his 13 episodes more than Luke Cage's 13 episodes. The first 7 episodes of Luke Cage are great. And then Cottonmouth's gone, and you're like, but what happened to the good part? Like... No, this isn't as good anymore.
Well, that's what you think the whole time of Iron Fist.
The whole time Iron Fist is consistent and tells the same story.
Defenders was too short for me.
I was so mad there's only 8 parts.
What is this?
Anyway, we are getting close to out of time. And so I wanted to sort of tidy up because last week I hadn't watched the latest episode of The Gifted.
Big reveal.
And there was a big reveal.
How are you going to ruin this?
Yeah, we're having such a good conversation.
Such a good show.
But no, because I'm excited because... So we get to meet Reed's
exciting that episode was.
Well, we get to meet Reed's father.
Yes.
And then we find out in a flashback at the beginning that Reed's grandfather and his grandfather's sister, so whatever that is, great aunt, who cares, were the brother-sister duo Fenris, who's well known in the X-Men, literally in the pages of Uncanny X-Men. They're basically kind of like a terrorist group sort of for hire, basically, and they factor in pretty heavily around X-Men number 200, which is right in the sweet spot when I was reading X-Men in, like, 1985. So I like those characters. Hadn't thought about them in a while, but when the show started, I'm like, oh, their last name's Strucker. And I can't remember if I said this on the show, but I remember thinking, I wonder if they're clever enough to have some tie to... And I'm like, no, not the Von Struckers. They're not that clever. Well... You were very clever this time, Gifted. I know, Michael, it hurts you to hear me say that. But I don't know. Maybe you don't give a shit about those characters. But I was excited that it's like, it's what I'm looking for.
It's the character that we've heard of.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Because we've got Thunderbird, we've got Polaris, and neither one of them.
We kind of got Polaris.
We kind of got Polaris.
I don't know.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm going to drop knives on myself.
Did you like
yeah,
that?
I did, actually, because you talked about it. That's what I remembered when I saw it.
Did you get a one line from that show or no?
Well, I used the one from The Runaways.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought, I like that we're seeing some flashes and the idea that Lauren and Andy would actually have those powers too when they, you know, it's like, have they held hands since
they would hold hands.
Well, in the commercial for next week.
I feel they have.
Yeah, they did at the end of the episode. They were holding hands and nothing happened.
I don't think they were trying to use their powers. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And in the little preview for what will be next Monday's episode, I believe we might get to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we are out of time, but I want to make sure to mention that Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back on Friday. And
your favorite show.
I maybe have 14 episodes that I need to watch before Friday. But I do like the show. I love Agent Coulson. I like Agent May. And Daisy's okay. You know, I mean,
not
I like...
Quake's cool, Daisy.
Yeah, she's okay.
Well, sorry, she's better when she's Quake. But anyway, but ever since they lost Mockingbird, I've been like, meh. So make sure you watch that. And there is a Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show, which can be found Sundays here on AfterBuzz, along with the Gifted after show. And Runaways has an after show.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course The Punisher, but those are basically just like two episodes where they do seven episodes of The Punisher and then the rest of the series, the other six. But, so you can find all that stuff here on AfterBuzz, the same channel we're on. But we'll be back next week. And until then, Carrie, where can people find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And Michael, you can be found at number one gifted fan, I believe is what I said last week.
I changed it.
Oh, no, you did.
It's Michael X. Shirley on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at Christian DMZ. And next week, we will be joined by Ryan Sands, who plays Jeffrey Wilder, Alex's father on The Runaways. So we will see you all next Monday at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, Excelsior.
Oh my God, I was just about to say that.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz
you later!